Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee today. I would like to welcome everybody. My name is Frank Hornstein. I am honored to serve as the chair of the committee. And our agenda today will be really more of an introduction to the committee. The committee members will be introducing themselves, talking a little bit about their background, their district. We'll go over a little bit about some of the committee processes and a little bit of a briefing on some of our upcoming hearings, and then we will adjourn. So with that, I want to, the first item of business is going to be for our committee legislative assistant, Mr. Dan Dodge, to introduce members of the committee. By way of just a roll call, just simply say present, and then we'll go back around and do more formal introductions after that. But first, it's just simply a call of the roll. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein.
Present.
Chair Hornstein, present. Vice Chair Cagle.
Present.
Vice Chair Cagle, present. Representative Petersburg.
Present.
Representative Petersburg, present. Representative Barr.
Present.
Representative Barr, present. Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Representative Bernardi, present. Representative Elkins.
Representative Elkins, present.
Representative Elkins, present. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Representative Frederick, present. Representative Hausman.
Present.
Representative Hausman, present. Representative Heinrich.
Present.
Representative Heinrich, present. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, present.
Representative Kosnick, present. Representative Mason.
Present.
Representative Mason, present. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Representative Murphy, present. Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Nelson, present. Representative Olson.
Present.
Representative Olson, present. Representative Richardson.
Present.
Representative Richardson, present. Representative Torkelson. Representative Torkelson. Representative West.
Here.
Representative West, present. There is a quorum.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dodge. And if there's anyone joining us late, we will note that person and call on them. So I also wanted to mention that our meeting here for today, January 12th, 2021, is being held in accordance with House Rule 10.1. This is a set of rules members that went into effect for virtual meetings shortly after we made the transition to virtual meetings following our COVID situation last March. So just a few things I wanted to mention here at the outset. If members would like to be recognized, use the raise hand feature. And I know that's located in different parts of, depending on what Zoom version you have, but use the raise hand for feature. In some situations, it's in the participants option or reactions option at the bottom of Zoom. And if those options don't work during the hearing, you can call or email committee staff, John Howe or Dan Dodge. They'll help with notification. They'll contact me by text if you want to speak. And then if all of those don't work, just simply unmute yourself, interrupt, say, Mr. Chair, and I'll get to your question. And that will really be our moving forward, from here on out. I understand that Representative Torkelson has now joined us. Representative Torkelson, we're just simply doing introductions for the purpose of attendance. We'll be going around in a couple of minutes and you can have more extensive comments in terms of your introduction at that point. So just simply state your name and present, and then I think we will have our everybody on board here.
Parkinson, St. Paul, present.
Okay, wonderful. So what I'd like to do now is Mr. Dodge, again, we'll call your name in alphabetical order, and we will just do introductions. And I wanted to do something a little bit more expansive than just simply saying your name and your district, which we should do, where you're from, and district number, but also what are the transportation issues that are of concern to you personally, both in your district? Are there transportation issues in your particular area that you want to bring forward that are that you're interested in? And then, of course, anything around the state. I remember from my freshman orientation, one of the things that stuck with me was whoever was doing the training at the time, maybe it was Speaker Svigum, I don't remember exactly, but they said, you know, keep in mind your job description is state representative. That is in your title. So in addition to the areas that you represent and the transportation issues there that you're concerned about and your constituents are concerned about that you want to bring forward, mention those, but also things around the state in your capacity as a state representative that you think our committee should address or that is of concern to you personally. So once we go through the individual committee members, I'll be calling on Representatives Barr and Petersburg to talk a little bit about some of the interests of their respective caucuses. I'll make some introductory comments after that, and then we will end with a little bit of a road map or transit map, bike map, whatever map you want to use, whatever mode you use, you know, in terms of the next month ahead, we'll discuss that and then we'll adjourn. So that is our agenda for today. And Mr. Dodge, if you want to call on the members again by alphabetical order, again, don't feel rushed, you know, maybe up to a couple minutes each. Again, a little bit more than just simply introducing yourselves. Let's hear your perspectives on transportation, why you joined the committee, however you want to introduce yourself would be very helpful and appropriate. Mr. Dodge.
Representative Bernardi.
Thank you very much. And you'll have to time me because I'm very passionate about transportation and how it helps improve. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. And please feel free to speak as much as you would like within reason.
Okay, thank you. No, I will respect that because I want to hear about
everybody. I'm not going to cut anybody off today. Maybe other days, but not today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Connie Bernardi, and I represent New Brighton, Fridley, and Spring Lake Park on the top of the Twin Cities here, and it's District 51A. I am very interested in transportation because I believe it really impacts people's life and it helps with economic prosperity and people to thrive. And so the areas that I have been interested in is active transportation and multimodal transportation. So no matter how somebody chooses to get about, whether it's biking, walking, transit, by car, rail, whatever, those are the modes I'm interested in and focusing on the most vulnerable user first. And so I've worked a lot around the area of equity and civil rights because those there are people do have civil rights as it's related to transportation and they actually are regulatory. Also worked a lot around context-sensitive solutions and focusing not only on the technical and then the regulatory, not just like watersheds, but also civil rights and then the community needs. And so making sure that we hear everybody's voice in the community and how transportation impacts their lives where projects are happening. And I also like to work on just making sure that we get the biggest bang for our buck and that we're focusing on protecting our environment as well and working on performance measures that are related to the environment as well as asset management. I could go on, and I just want to say my district has one of the most deadly for areas for pedestrian. Representative Cagle and I share it, and she may talk about it as well, but along the University Avenue corridor, and it also includes the Highway 65 corridor, and thank you for everybody who came out on the Transportation Committee. They saw how challenging that was and how dangerous it was, and I just really appreciate everyone's effort in helping us make that a safe place for everyone, and So not only do I focus on my community, but the entire state and those areas as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, Representative Bernardi. And that's, you know, that kind of information, that kind of sharing is exactly what you modeled for everyone else, the kind of passion and interest and connection to your community that we'd like folks to talk about. So, Mr. Dodge.
Representative Elkins.
Unmute there. Steve Elkins, I represent District 49B. I live in Bloomington. My district also includes portions of Edina, Minnetonka, and Eden Prairie. My parochial projects are, you know, seeing the completion of the 494 upgrade in Bloomington, Richfield, Edina, and the Bloomington Strip. We were awarded a fairly significant Corridors of Commerce grant a couple of years ago to fix the 494-35W interchange and implement a MinPass lane on 494 in the Bloomington Strip. And while we have, the awards were fairly large, they weren't large enough. So parochially, I'm interested in making sure that MnDOT has enough funding for that project to see those projects through to completion. Also been very heavily invested in the completion in the Orange Line Bus Rapid Transit System, which runs through Bloomington, and the completion of the Southwest LRT corridor. I served at one point in the management committee for that project, and also trying to win a teleworking grant for the 494 Corridor Commission's Commuter Services Branch, which is assisting employers in the Southwest Metro area to help implement their telework programs in response to the pandemic. By background, I'm actually a transportation economist by education. I spent the first 15 years of my career setting airfares for a living. I moved to Minnesota from California in 1985 to be the SOB who set the airfares for Republic Airlines. And after I retired from the airline industry in the early 1990s, I decided to I didn't want to completely abandon my transportation roots, so I started volunteering for transportation policy committees. And I've served on transportation policy committees now for the City of Bloomington, the Metropolitan Council. I was a city council member in Bloomington for 9 years in the 2000s and served on transportation policy committees for Metro Cities, the League of Minnesota Cities, and the National League of Cities. I was the chair of the National League of Cities Transportation Committee in 2010. Prior to being elected to this job, I served on the Metropolitan Council during the Dayton administration for 8 years and was the chair of the Met Council Transportation Committee for a few of those years as well. This is my second term in the House and second term on this committee. And during my first term, I attracted a lot of constituencies who reached out to me to carry their bills, and some of that will carry over to this year, including the bill to help the deputy registrars elect enable them to increase their fees to cover the increased cost of the work that they're doing under the new system, which pushes a lot more of the work from the back office at driver and vehicle services up to the out to the deputy registrars in the field. I'll be carrying the bill for the Minnesota Bicycle Alliance to regulate the use of electric bicycles on our roadways. The kind of priorities, the initiatives of my own, you'll see a bill shortly that would establish a road user charge based on mileage for electric vehicles modeled after existing live programs that are going on right now in Oregon and Utah. This one will be modeled more after the Utah program. The idea that the mileage-based charge on EVs, which is entirely practical while protecting privacy concerns right now, would replace the registration surcharge that EVs pay right now. We'll have some legislation related to data practices, provisions related to transportation data in the hands of our governments. probably stay involved along with Representative Bernardi on all things related to connected and automated vehicles and active transportation and complete streets as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Elkins. Chair Hornstein is having technical difficulties, so Representative Cagle will be taking over as vice chair.
So first day on the job here, and I get to sit in the big chair. So Mr. Dodge, who's next on the list?
Representative Frederick.
Hi, my name is Luke Frederick. I'm from Mankato, District 19B, Mankato and Eagle Lake. And I am very interested in advocating for passenger rail to greater Minnesota, whether it's going south to the Mankato or Rochester area or somewhere north like St. Cloud or Duluth. I also look at that there are going to be more and more electric vehicles on the road and making sure that the infrastructure to support them is in place. My background is that I've been a state employee for 15 years. I've worked at a maximum security psych hospital for that whole time, now called the Forensics Program, formerly known as the Minnesota Security Hospital. And now I'm here and I'm excited to get the work done.
Thank you, Representative Frederick. Mr. Dodge?
Representative Hausman.
I've got my mute button in an awkward place. I live in St. Paul, represent a couple of neighborhoods in St. Paul, but mostly suburban areas, three suburban cities, Falcon Heights, Lauderdale, and most of Roseville. If you've been to the State Fair, you've been to my district. Spend most of my time working on transportation alternatives. That would be public transit. I was the author of the Blue Line and the Green Line. I spent about 10 years of my life on that one. Intercity passenger rail, I share that with Representative, is it Friedrich or Frederick? I'm not sure I got that correctly. And ports. So those transportation alternatives. Intercity passenger rail, particularly, we failed to get $10 million in this last legislative session or special sessions to match a federal grant that we have for the second train to Chicago. All the other money is on the table. Wisconsin has their money on the table. Amtrak has their money. The federal government has a grant for that line for $38 million, and we need to match that with $10 million or we lose it. Obviously, there's some urgency about that. The reason for the second train is that right now the train leaves the West Coast and it might run into weather problems in Idaho or Montana, and it might run into freight problems in the Dakotas. And so it often arrives very late in St. Paul. And obviously that means the quality of that service is not very helpful. So if we had a second train that left every day at the same time from St. Paul, to Chicago, it would be better service, and the ridership projections are quite significant if we add that second train. We trail the Midwest. We trail all of our economic competitors. States like Kansas and Texas are happily taking federal money and building intercity passenger rail corridors. So when I'm a commissioner for the Council of State Governments Commission on Passenger Rail. And when I mentioned that in Minnesota, it's controversial and it's become partisan, all of my colleagues in the other states, both parties, just looked quizzically. How could that happen? Because in their case, the business community understands the economic impact on intercity passenger rail for their region. So we have some work to do.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. And if I've got my alphabet correct, Representative Heinrich, you're on deck here, or you're next.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair Hornstein. I represent the District of 35A, that's the cities of Anoka and Ramsey. Locally, we have Highway 10 running through our community there. And we've had lots of work done on that over the years. We've had some intersections funded for the stoplights to be removed and be able to continue to move through on that highway without stoplights. We need two more removed. So That's one of the local priorities that I've gotten from City of Ramsey and City of Anoka to increase safety through that area, and then also economic development through there. I wanted to say it was a pleasure to go out to your district, Representative Cagle and Representative Bernardi, when you spoke about the university corridor. I was shocked when I saw during that tour. It was real helpful to see how dangerous some of the intersections there are for pedestrians, the lack of sidewalks, and you know, the ability for people to wait for buses. That was pretty shocking. So I agree that that should be a main focus, hopefully, for our committee here this year in that district. Road and bridge construction and maintenance. I think infrastructure is really important, and so looking forward to continue to be a part of this committee. It's nice to see some old faces and some new committee members here this year. So thank you.
We have Chair Hornstein back on the line.
Yeah. Yes, can everybody hear me?
We can.
Okay, so sorry about that. I still have, what's that?
I believe I'm next on the list. Is that correct, Mr. Dodge?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Representative Cagle, go ahead. I hope I can get my internet connection back. But in the meantime, I'll join you by audio. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm glad I'm ahead of Representative West here on the in the alphabet scale, so that I can talk about Highway 65 and what a big project that is in our area. And so, you know, Highway 65 is the main thoroughfare through our district. It carries as many cars per day as Highway 35W. But imagine sitting on Highway 35W with a stoplight every half mile or so. So that's one of the big projects that we've been working on since I started in the legislature. And we have made progress. The safety on University, as many of you have already mentioned, on University Avenue with the bus stops and the no sidewalks. I was really excited to have you guys all walk the cow path through my district last term. And I'm not going to stop talking about that one. So sorry if you get to hear me talk about it again for another 2 years. And then another issue in my district is arterial BRT on the 10 route. I think that's one of the main finalists for the next phase of BRT, bus rapid transit. So that's kind of exciting. Some of the things that I'm hoping to work on as far as statewide is, you know, each part of the state has these issues. These aren't unique issues to our districts. And so one of the things that we really need to do is figure out how we're going to get new revenue into the system. We know that we're facing funding shortfalls when it comes to transportation. And so we really need to think creatively on how we can get new funding into the system so that we're not just maintaining our roads, but we have the ability to actually act on these projects. So when Highway 65, when the study is done and we have all the bids and everything collected, that we actually have the resources to fix that section of road. And so I'm really excited to be working on this committee again, and looking forward to working with all of you, and really excited that we have such a big Anoka County contingent as well. So thank you.
Great. Next up is Representative Kosnick, and I understand I might have my video back, and I'll try, but Representative Kosnick, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein and Vice Chair Cagle. My name is John Kosnick. I represent probably 75-80% of the city of Lakeville, and the other areas of Lakeville are covered by other districts. So it's a growing district. Should be, I think, it's like the third largest land area. But we've got planes, trains, and automobiles. We've got an industrial park with an active use of train tracks for shipping different products out of the industrial park. We have the Air Lake Airport there, and of course Lakeville is about 25 miles south of St. Paul here on Interstate 35. So kind of cover a number of the different transportation modes. I think the most biggest issue is just trying to figure out as a committee the most effective way to get and move people and products to their market or where they need to go in the variety of different modes that we've talked about. I've been proud to have worked with Chair Hornstein on the completion of the first phase of the Orange Line Bus Rapid Transit, in addition to the Lake Street Interchange that's in his district, but recognizing that the Interstate 35 corridor serves a huge amount of people throughout the metro and into the southern part of the state. So those are fun projects to see being worked on currently right now. In the past couple of years, I've worked on transit security. I believe we'll be working, and I came really close to having getting that passed last year. So I'll work with Representative Elkins, I believe, to figure out how we can make sure that our transit system is a safe system for people to ride. Obviously, choice riders that may have automobiles as their primary option are going to continue to stay in their automobiles and choose to forego transit options if they're not safe and secure. And people that are dependent on transit have a right to be able to utilize that system that we've invested billions of dollars in, and to do that safely without fear of being the next victim. So kind of an important issue, and I think we're really close to figuring out some first steps on that. Did a little bit of work with a student driver's road test. One of my main projects is probably in the next couple of years will be to help provide some new funding for an important interchange in my district, County Road 50 at Interstate 35, as we're one of the largest growing districts in the state, cities in the state. We're outgrowing that interchange, and a couple of years back, we just kind of did a temporary fix on that. So this is my seventh year on the transportation. I'm just starting my fourth term as a legislator. And so one of the committees that I really enjoy. I'm looking forward to another biennium under Chair Hornstein. Does a great job of hearing everybody out. And I appreciate that from him. And so looking forward to a fun and productive next couple, this session and working to move Minnesota transportation system forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. And I also wanted to thank you for mentioning the Orange Line. There's a long history of bipartisan cooperation and work on that, starting back your predecessor, Representative Holberg, worked on that very hard. And, you know, there's a lot of examples, actually, corridors of commerce, many things that we've worked together on a bipartisan basis. And I'm proud of that work and, you know, appreciate your continuing that tradition, Representative Kosnick, with your work. Representative Mason is next. And Representative Mason, hopefully you can hear me and you're connected, and I will try to get back on video as you're speaking. But go ahead, Representative Mason.
Thank you, Chair. I am Sandra Mason. I represent District 51A, which is most of Egan, west of 35E, all of northern Burnsville. And there are a number of things I'd like to highlight. One is I was here when 35E opened, and I remember going into St. Paul thinking, this is my freeway. And now when I drive into St. Paul, it's literally gridlock. And that to me is one of the major issues that we really need to be concentrating on, is gridlock. I'm just surprised sometimes that we don't get more people complaining than we do. While I did serve on the Egan City Council, and while I was there, I was for that most of the time I was, it was about 8 years, I served as on the board of the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority. And it was, we opened the Burnsville station, and I remember like within a year we needed to add more access to the ramp. I mean, the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority has done a really great job of helping us provide transit south of the river, and obviously there's still work that we need to be doing on that. The other thing I did over the years, I mean, I've served on numerous advisory transit or advisory transportation committees, both at local, state, and national levels. And this just reminded me, way back when I first got on the legislature, there was a study for commuter rail. And again, that is something that to me seems should be a logical thing that we've had, but we've kind of dropped it. And I might mention the difference between when I was on the city council, there were so few people that really cared about transportation or spending on and funding for transportation. And when I came into the legislature, which was 2007, it was a really exciting time. And that's when we did pass the gas tax and we passed a number of other things going forward. And over the last couple of years, we've had a tough time again about getting things done. So I think we just need to be consistent. And one of the things, again, just to show you how little they cared about transportation, various modes of transportation, when Cedar Avenue Bridge was built, only cars can use it. And I have a guy who does a lot of biking to go to his job in Minneapolis. So he has to go all the way down to Mendota Heights to use that bridge to get into Minneapolis, which adds 7 miles, again, by bike. And the fact that there's no lightweight rail provisions on the Cedar Avenue Bridge. Now that's a fairly recent bridge as well. When I first came to the legislature, I had the broadband task force bill. We now have a task force. But if COVID, again, has shown us some really major deficiencies that we have, and the lack of broadband in some portions of our state is huge. Again, we need to be addressing those issues. The one exciting thing is the fact that we do have the Orange Line coming across 35W into Burnsville. So that's one of the more exciting things. And specifically for Dakota County, we could use a few more east-west roads. So that's kind of my short list.
Thank you, Representative Mason. I am so excited that Representative Mary Murphy, Chair Murphy, is on this committee. And Representative Murphy, you hosted us so graciously in Duluth, this committee, in late 2019. And I know there are many, many issues in your area. You have served very ably as the bonding chair. You know transportation in and out, and it's so great to have your expertise on this committee. But I would love to hear your perspectives on transportation this session. And unmute, yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, it was really my sixth choice.
Honesty is always the best policy.
I had never, ever had it on my list at all, because there was always such strong members that from other regions and my own that were on the transportation committees in the House or the Senate, so that there was never seemed to me like there would be a need for me to mold an interest. But I've always followed what transportation was doing very carefully, and it seemed like in this century, we're not doing much to make the funding of transportation more sustainable for the future. And I'm very concerned about that, and it seems to me in the last 30 years at least, every effort to include more money was a gas tax, but we never made the gas tax what it should be. It was always 5 cents or 10 cents. We've never ever talked more than 10 cents. And I think it's time that we have to talk about the sustainability of transportation. But that's not really, my roots are you know, I was a country kid kind of, or a rural kid with no transportation. When I was a kid, there was only two women in my neighborhood, Pearl Anderson and Ruth Opine, that had driver's licenses and drove a car on a daily basis to somewhere or everywhere. None of the other women in the neighborhood had a driver's license except Mabel Moline, who got her license when you could send a quarter in to the state with your name and your address, and in return mail, you could get a driver's license back. And she had done that, and she had her license, but she did not know how to drive.
Details.
And so that when we lived 15 miles from the city, from West Duluth, we never got downtown Duluth more than once or twice a year at the most. And there was no bus service. There was no way to get to town except by car. My dad was a steel worker, worked shifts. And so there was only one shift when he, you know, when he was awake during the daytime, then even to drive into town. But we managed, everybody managed, and we walked a lot. But we didn't have trails in those days. We lived by within 5 miles of the airport. But, and we went down to see the boats come in, the big Lakers come in to load up and take grain and ore away from our port. But another thing that I think of when I thought about transportation, did I want to be on the committee, was, and I'm so glad, Representative Frederick, that there's someone from someplace else in Minnesota at the other end, and that thinks that passenger rail that connects us, and Ellis Hausman always has been a vocal person for connecting people by any kinds of communication you can. But passenger rail, especially Amtrak and other passenger rail systems, is what connects American. And I was a history teacher over the years, and you know, we talked about the first thing that connected America was the train in the 1860s. That connected the West Coast to the East Coast. And people could get all the way across the country. And that was federally funded government, or federal government that funded that and funded the land sales that went along with the railroad train that was going to unite the country. And the federal government is the one that's been the basic funder of airports. And in order for Minnesota to stay within reach of those federal monies, we have to have a place at the table to say that we have bought in to the idea that America has to be connected in whatever way possible. And now we're talking about trails across the United States in the north and the south, and going north and south and east and west, that people can hike across the country safely. And over the years, I've been a author of the Safe Routes to School Bill. I've been co-authors of trails. The Willard Munger Trail, you know, was one that was going to connect all of Minnesota at one time in the early 90s. I added Proctor and Hermantown to the possibility that we could have a link to the Munger Trail. And we still don't. But it's a coming. But in the last year, or two years, when I was bonding chair, I saw the needs or the talk about the needs for transportation projects more and more as each month went by, including from May to October, of how important the bonding bill would be to transportation. Things that have been funded in the transportation finance bill in the past got in the bonding bill of 2020. And is the bonding bill going, I have the question and I'm going to ask it every single time I get a chance. Is the bonding bill going to be the substitute for the transportation finance sustainability? Because if it is, we have to change the whole different criteria of bonding. And we're cheating the other agencies that had to take a back seat because there wasn't enough money to go in the bonding bill. Now, if we had had a $3.5 billion bill, I wouldn't be making this speech today. But one more thing I want to bring up that you asked, you know, and I'm telling you, Mr. Chair, I'm telling you, I also grew up back when I was still a kid in the sticks, living out in the sticks. I grew up thinking Lady Bird Johnson was a heroine of the times because she talked about how along the roadways we should be able to see the culture of the people and the prairies and the mountains and all good thing rather than just billboard after billboard after billboard. And there was a period of time in the 60s and the 70s where there wasn't very much advertising going through the freeways that Dwight Eisenhower supposedly built on the United States freeways. There was a period of time where you didn't see billboard after billboard, but the last time I drove from St. Paul back to Duluth through the on Highway 35, I was amazed at the number of new billboards that are up. And I don't know if they've gotten bigger or have a lot better artists or whatever, but some of them I didn't even know what they were advertising. So I'm not sure it's a good deal for the dollars that go into it, because if I don't know what they're advertising, I certainly won't be able to buy it. But what happened to the no billboards rules? I have to find that out because I'm a member of your committee now. And so those are the things that are puzzling me. And I'm pleased to be here. And I'll try not to ask too many questions or make too many points along the way. But you can see how I get inspired by one thing or another as we go along. So you're going to have to put up with me. But I'll try to do a better job of controlling myself than I am today. But those are the things that have passed through my mind since I got the notice that we were going to have introductions, and you wanted more than where we live.
Well, thank you so much, Chair Murphy. I think you hit just about every mode of transportation, which is very helpful. And of course, being located in Duluth, you see it firsthand. And you know, to your last point, our former colleague, Representative Michael Paymar, was sort of the leading advocate of billboard control in the legislature. And so I think that he would have really appreciated your comments. I think I'll communicate that to him, that you were bothered by that, as he was, as many of us are, but especially as he was. So thank you, Representative Murphy.
Well, if you just count the ones that are, they weren't there in March when we were sent home, these billboards weren't, my gosh, I don't know what's happened.
Yeah, well, I think the last thing that Representative Paymar worked on in one of his last terms was the phenomenon of electronic billboards. So I don't know, maybe there's that could be reintroduced. We'll see.
But passenger train should not be a thing of the past.
Well, I think that you have, we certainly talked about that in this committee, and we'll continue to talk about that and pass legislation related to that. So Representative Nelson, welcome, and welcome back. You're a veteran of this committee. I'll say a little fun fact that maybe members of the committee may not know. There are three people still in the legislature from the great class of 2002, myself, Representative Nelson, and Representative Erdahl. So we have hung on, and I always appreciate that connection and that bond we have, Representative Nelson. And I believe that you've served on this committee, I think, every single term except for one, and I'm glad to see you back. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And yeah, I've served on it two terms. I didn't serve on the House on the.
That's right. You corrected me the other day. I forgot.
Yeah, okay. There was one term that I was asked to step off for another member that wanted to get back on, and I gladly did that for a senior member. And then there was one year that my committee met at the same time, and I joked that even though I may be schizophrenic, I can't be in two places at once. and my apologies to anyone that takes offense at that. Anyway, but on the Transportation Committee, you and I go back to Bernie Leader, and he always talked about we have to have a transportation bill that helps all parts of the state, and that includes transit, all forms of transit, and transportation roads, but transit not just in the metro area, there's transit needs throughout Minnesota. I think that used to be there was one county that had no public transit at any time. I think that has changed now, but we still need to have properly fund transit across the state. Two of my big projects that I'm trying to shepherd through and make sure that they continue on their way is the completion of the Bottineau light rail. We were thrown a ringer last year when Burlington Northern kicked us out of their railway or their railroad corridor and said we can't use that, even though from the beginning they were guiding us in that direction. So we're looking at an alternative route through Minneapolis from the stadium area, the Twin Stadium, and through Minneapolis and north to Brooklyn Park. And that needs to get done because that'll help a lot of the people in my neighborhood who are transit dependent get to work downtown and get to jobs. The other one is 252 north of I-94, 694 intersection there. I think there's two of the top 10 worst intersections in the state are on that stretch of road for deaths and accidents and all that. And we need to get that straightened out and fix that. There was money in the quarters of commerce that went there, and that is progressing, but not as fast as it could be. It was supposed to start work on that, and that got pushed back now. And we need to continue working on getting that done. As my other fellow members from the North Minneapolis or the north side of Minneapolis, the northern suburbs, we seem to always take the second banana, come up second short or second banana or behind the eight ball when it comes to transportation funding compared to other parts of the metro area. We always seem to be the last ones to get funded. And another thing that I want to talk about is I do not like the idea of earmarking projects. I, in my first term, We had a project in Northern Brooklyn Park that was supposed to be funded because of some delays that happened on Highway 62 crosstown project there that was pushed back a couple years. And then when they finally went to go do it, the amount of money that was needed was exactly the amount of money for the other project in the metro that was going to get done that year, which was what they call the Devil's Triangle, which is Highway 81, Highway 169, and I think it's County Road 109, but it's 85th Avenue North come together. And that was a very dangerous intersection. We were killing about one person every year in accidents there. And they took the money from that and put it in Crosstown, which rightfully so was a larger project that did need to get done. And the promise was made that when new money came through, that would be the first project reinstated. And our governor at the time made that promise to my senator. And yet when we passed the gas tax and got new money, they were going to put us back at the bottom of the list and have to work our way all the way through the STIP list, and which would have taken 25 years. And so I understand when you earmark projects, it pushes some projects ahead, but it also pushes other projects down. And we can't be doing that. We need to have a progress that, or a process for NDOT to be able to pick these projects and do the ones that are needed the most, and the money is there for that. With that said, we don't have enough money in the transportation area. We've been falling behind in that funding. We're $6 billion or so dollars short of getting the projects that are on our transportation improvement list done. And we need to come up with ways to get more money in transportation, including gas tax, including other ways of doing it. But we can't be doing it by stealing money from the general fund that goes to other projects, other things like schools, health and welfare projects, and that throughout the state. We need to make sure that we fund transportation properly, but we do it as we have done for 100 years now, do as a pay-as-you-go basis, which is the way we've been doing a user fees that are tied to transportation, which is the way we've done it in the past, which is what the gas tax is, the ultimate user fee. The people that drive the roads and buy gas, that gas tax money goes in to pay for our roads. So with that, I'll leave it at that, but I look forward to this committee and working on a comprehensive bill and come up with a way to fund the projects we need to get done.
Thank you very much, Representative Nelson. Next up is Representative Olson. Welcome to the legislature, Representative Olson, first of all, and the Transportation Committee. I really enjoyed the conversation we had the other day, and I know you're going to be a great member of this committee and a great member of the body, and look forward to hearing your introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So like the chairman said, my name is Bjorn Olson. I'm from District 23A. That's Bob Gunther's old district, Faribault County, Martin County, Jackson, and Watonwan counties. I'm from the small little town of Elmore, Minnesota, and I can actually see Iowa from my window here. I'm three blocks away from Iowa. And Representative Murphy's a social studies teacher. I'm a history teacher as well. So I'll share with you all a little bit of history to make most of the DFLers jealous. And if you are not jealous DFLers, you need to learn your history, because I actually live in the house that the old Walter Mondale lived in when he was a child. And back a couple years ago, during my town's 150th anniversary, he stopped by, and I got a whole bunch of memorabilia signed by him. Not saying I approve of his methods and his progressive ideas, but you know, when the opportunity comes for a very important person in Minnesota's history to stop by, you take advantage of that and you grab a permanent marker and you have him sign some stuff for you. So if any of the DFLers are not currently jealous, you might want to talk to Representative Murphy, and she'll give you a history lesson on why you should, in fact, be jealous. I'm a transportation officer in the United States Army Reserve, so I do know a little bit about planes, trains, and automobiles and hauling freight over roads. I'm a farmer, so obviously roads are very, very important in my rural area and making sure that our crops can make it to market and feed the world. And also, I'm a previous mayor of this small town of mine, so I have personal, basically foundational understanding of how expensive roads are to try and maintain as a small town. I can tell you that overlaying a street costs $21,000 per city block, and fixing infrastructure and redoing the entire road is $110,000. And when your city budget is $550,000, that's pretty tight. That's incredibly tight to fund. And so the question is, you know, I'm a huge advocate for rural life, and I know that you know, these small towns, they support agriculture, and agriculture supports the United States. So we need to make sure that we don't forget about the fact that there are individuals in rural areas who support everyone else in every other aspect of their lives. So I'll be the rural voice on this committee, ensuring that we're all heard. So I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Looking forward to this.
Appreciate those comments, Representative Olson. Welcome again. And I'm very happy that Representative Ruth Richardson is back on our committee. She was an incredible member last biennium. And thank you very much, Representative Richardson. And we look forward to your words of introduction.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. I represent District 52B, which includes Mendota Heights, Inver Grove Heights, Sunfish Lake, and a portion of Eagan. Sandy and I chair Eagan, and I have the Vikings training facility, which she is very jealous of currently. A number of issues that are very important to constituents within my district. Couple of things. Metro mobility is a huge issue within our district. Dakota County, some may know, actually has a very high rate of autism as compared with the rates of autism in other counties, not only in Minnesota, but higher rates than are often seen in other parts of the country as well. And so Dakota County has done a number of things around really innovative opportunities to increase access to transportation for those with disabilities. And so have a continued interest in continuing to ensure that there's access for not only those with disabilities, but for seniors as well. We have Inver Hills Community College, and within the college, there are sometimes some challenges. We've got some transportation transit deserts within the district as well. And so that is something that I'm oftentimes hearing from constituents within my district about as well. In addition to those areas, pedestrian safety is something that has been a huge issue. There have been a number of high-profile incidents within the district. We've had some young ones who have been killed on the way to school. We've also had a number of deaths in Inver Grove as well. And so ensuring pedestrian safety is something that is very important to those within the district. Ensuring our roads and our bridges are safe is another big concern as well. A couple of things, workforce and supplier related, that are important issues for me. The DBE program that we don't spend a lot of time talking about within transportation is, I think, a real opportunity as we think about opportunity for economic advancement for businesses. On a workforce side, I worked prior to coming to the legislature on a number of programs that were focused on increasing the number of CDL drivers by helping to support those who may not have a pathway of a college education. So the CDL program that MnDOT created was also replicated in many cities across Minnesota as well, and so was able to work on areas related to that and continue to want to look for ways that we can increase our workforce opportunities. And what I will end with is environmental justice issues are also something that are it's very important to me as well. We look at the old historic Rondo neighborhood. I grew up in St. Paul, and as many know, there were political decisions that were made to run a freeway through the Black middle class in that historic Rondo neighborhood. Not only did it displace a number of homeowners, but it displaced over 600 Black businesses as well. And that was a disruption that we still have not yet recovered from in terms of the impacts of that. But fast forward to today, that Rondo corridor that runs through the 94 has one of the highest rates of emergency room visits for asthma within the state as well. And so understanding how public policy decisions can also have environmental justice impacts as well is something that I hope that we'll spend some time on in the committee.
Thank you, Representative Richardson. Representative Torkelson is next, and I'm very pleased that Representative Torkelson is back on the committee. He's been the lead and the chair of this committee. He's also chaired capital investment, so he knows this issue very well. I don't know, Representative Torkelson, if you wanted to rebut anything from your fellow capital investment chair, Representative Murphy, but the floor is yours. I'm so glad you're back on the committee. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Frank. I'm pleased to be back on transportation, and would be the last thing I do would be rebut Mary Murphy, because she is chairing the redistricting committee and I am the lead. So it's important that Representative Murphy and I get along. So I will not go after Representative Murphy. I never would, even if she wasn't the chair of a committee I'm on.
Fair enough, Representative Torkelson. Fair enough.
But it's great to be back on transportation, an issue area that I've been very interested in since I first got to the legislature now some 12 years ago. This is my seventh term in the House, and I represent District 16B in South Central Minnesota, New Ulm being the largest city in my district, but only one of 21 towns in my district that stretches from New Ulm west toward South Dakota. I don't go quite that far, but it's a very very rural district, very ag oriented. I'm a farmer by trade, and my farm happens to be in the neighboring district in Lawton County. My official residence on Lake Hanska in beautiful Brown County is where I work from. As far as transportation issues go, there, you know, as you know, the plate is very full. There's lots of work to do. And the first thing I would stress is how important it is that we get a substantial transportation bill across the finish line. There were some bienniums where we passed only what might be called a lights on transportation bill because we couldn't reach agreement on some tough issues. I think that's a mistake, frankly, because when that happens, transportation falls behind other issue areas. Getting the best bill we possibly can across the finish line is so important, and that we figure out a way to do that. As you know, we can pass whatever we want out of the House, but it has to get out of conference committee too. And so working with the Senate is very important in finding the path forward with our Senate cohorts on the other side of the street, or on the other side of the Zoom, I guess it is these days. Anyway, I would just, I took a number of notes here. I'll try not to go into all of them, but I would reiterate what Bjorn said about our small towns. There have been years where we have sent some money to towns under 5,000. Towns under 5,000 are not included in the formula, and they don't get anything unless we do a special allocation for them. When we've done that, they've appreciated very much. The amount of money compared to what we spend in other parts of the state is minuscule, but the effect is dramatic. And that also goes for townships. Townships have more miles of road in them than any other entity that are under their jurisdiction. They aren't freeways. Most of them are gravel roads, but they still do require maintenance and upkeep. And we've had a tough time finding money for some help for those townships too. And again, we're not talking big numbers, but it's really important to Greater Minnesota that we help out our small towns and townships. I'm gonna go on a little bit on project selection. Project selection is always a conundrum. It's always challenging, it's always difficult. I think each of us, not only on this committee, but every member of the legislature has got a transportation issue in their district that they know is the most important transportation issue in the state right now. But we can't fix them all at once. We have to go through them in some sort of an appropriate fashion of project selection. The department has worked hard on this, and I look forward to examining their project selection work that they've done to see if it meets up with our expectations. But earmarks are something I do not believe in. I think they are a mistake, and we've, for the most part, managed to avoid them. I'll go on to, along with project selection, is how we finance projects, but also how projects are administered. There are some complicated new ideas out there that we've experimented with, CMGC being one of them, and we need to examine those, see if they really are efficient, and if it's something we want to allow the department to continue with. Safety is a big deal. Representative Richardson mentioned safety. I'll mention safety too. But I'll also mention, along those lines, worker safety, the safety of our highway department workers that are out there fixing the roads is a big deal. We have lost a number of highway department workers because of accidents within work zones. There is technology out there that can make them safer if we choose to use it. I would suggest a pilot project to see if that technology really is cost effective and actually helps make those work zones more safer places for our highway workers to work. I'm very interested, of course, in our licensing system. Chair Hornstein and I have some history. Those of you that remember MNLARS, we were happy to see it buried, but it was a long It was a long service before we got that done. But MnDrive is up and running, but with Min, I just saw the chat there. I hope you all get a laugh. MnDrive is working pretty well. We got to make sure the DRs are making it and doing it and able to work efficiently with MnDrive. It's really important. We see a lot of money coming into the state from the last federal stimulus bill, but that money, you know, it's not going to last forever, and we want to make sure that we're prepared with our airports and our transit systems to function after this federal money runs out. It's really it's a big challenge. There's a cliff ahead of us, and if ridership doesn't come back, transit's going to have a real problem. You know, with that, I've got a whole bunch of other things I could go on to. Frank, as you know, we have a lot of ground to cover. I'm going to quit with that. I want to say how happy I am to be back on the committee, how happy I am to be able to work again with you, Chair Hornstein. I look forward to working with new Vice Chair Cagle and new lead Petersburg and putting together a really good set of proposals and getting a good bill across the finish line. And with that, I will say thank you and farewell.
Well, thank you, Representative Torgerson. We value very much your experience. You have raised a number of issues that I'm going to get to in my comments. I think we're tracking very closely on several of those, and you know, particularly the issues around small towns and a funding source, project selection. A number of things you mentioned are very much on my mind, as well as having that substantial bill across the finish line. So we have one more member, and then we'll get to our leaders, caucus leaders who are on the committee. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. I'm Nolan West. I represent Blaine, and I'm in my third term. I'm actually the only Republican who only represents one city, which is really convenient. And makes me a little different than a lot of the other issues that have come up. As you know, I'm more of a suburban urban rather than the rural area. And one of the reasons I chose this committee, was my number one committee choice 2 years ago, is because of our honorable Chair Hornstein. Yes. I was told, out of all the chairs, Chair Hornstein is the one who will let you get a committee hearing. And sure enough, I got a committee hearing. I didn't get a committee hearing in any of my other committees. So I really appreciate that, Mr. Chair. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to definitely get back on this committee. That, and as Representative Cagle mentioned, Highway 65, you'll hear a lot from both of us. you'll probably get tired of it. It's like Representative Torkelson and Highway 14. It's the big issue in my community. Goes right through it. 31 of the 31 critical infrastructure intersections in the metro area, 10 of those are on Highway 65 in a 1.5-mile stretch. So we have a stretch, and that's smack dab in mostly my district and a little bit of Representative Cagle's, and it is just brutal out there. I mean, it's averaging over an accident a day. I also represent the National Sports Center, which is the largest amateur sports complex in the nation, actually, and that has been a big driver for Blaine, and that when we have the USA Cup every year, that's 1,163 soccer teams come to Blaine to play soccer. And oh my goodness, our roads up here are not, it's just a total train wreck every single time. So I'm hoping we can get some work up in my neck of the woods. So, and lastly, the one thing I really appreciate about transportation issues is it's always civil. It's like a very old school debate we have. It's about taxes and investments. A lot of the political debates now are just, you know, mean and savage, and I don't want any part of them. Whereas, you know, especially with Chair Hornstein at the helm, we can have a civil discussion, get some real stuff done, and actually help the state rather than just chalk up political points for the next campaign cycle. And that makes it a fun committee to be on. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much, Representative West, for your nice comments. And I do remember it was a great hearing we had at the Blaine City Hall last year, and you know, and along with Representative Cagle, Representative Bernardi, we had, you know, just Representative Heinrich, we had such a great visit to the northern suburbs, and I learned a lot there. So what we're going to do now, members, we have about 20 minutes left. I'm going to call on Representatives Barr and Petersburg. I'll make some comments, then we'll hear, we'll have introductions of our wonderful staff. And then we'll conclude with a couple of closing comments I'll make about our next several hearings, so we have a sense of where things are headed. Representative Barr, welcome. I'm so glad that you're on the committee. We didn't have anyone from the New Republican Caucus last time, so I'm glad you bring that voice. And I've always appreciated you and our friendship over the years, and would love to hear your words of introduction.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Yes, it is good to be back on the committee. This is my third term, and I was a freshman. I was on the committee as the chair, and I met then. And I think we developed at least a start of a good working relationship. I share many of the concerns. So my district, start with that, is 31B. That's North Anoka County. So you get on Highway 65, you run through Representative Cagle's district, and then you run into Nolan West's, and you go through his district, and then you get to mine. So if you want to get out to the, I guess, the outer ring suburbs or the edge of the country, and I don't know whether I'm actually a rural legislator or a metro legislator, because I am on kind of the cusp. I have a little of both, that feel of both there. So I understand a lot of the issues. I have plenty of constituents that are looking for some of the dedicated bus lines. I believe we have one that leaves out of, picks up out of a movie theater every day and runs right down 65. So rapid transit corridor, I'd be interested in those discussions there. I also have townships that have continually complained that they get $21,000 to handle, you know, 60 miles of gravel roads. And it's impossible. I said, you can run the grader down there one time, you're done for the whole year. There's no room for anything else. So, looking at the formula of how we fund towns under 5,000 and townships is something that will be, I'm interested in that discussion. I think that's something that's long overdue. I could go into quite a few other things, but I have been not just a user, but I'm a commercial truck driver by trade. I've got well over 4 million miles on the highways and byways of this great union. I've seen some really stupid things that other states have done. I've seen some really smart things. And I would like to offer some of that, real world usage of what works and what doesn't work, and bring some of that back to Minnesota. I see we have started adopting some of California's dumber things on our freeways where it looks like a good idea on paper, but it actually promotes very aggressive driving. And that's not something, we already have enough aggressive driving. We don't need to promote that, further that. The one thing that I would like to mention that I am interested in that I have not heard any of the other members talk about is autonomous vehicles. They are going to be a part of our transportation system going forward. They will promote safety. They will, a three-lane highway right now can be moved down to a four-lane highway without adding any lane miles because of the way they operate. Representative Mason and I, a couple years ago, we saw one down in Roseville, I believe, wasn't it? We got the demonstration down there.
Representative Mason, can you unmute, please?
I'm thinking it was in Bloomington, but
I can't remember for sure. But you and I were there. We got a ride in one of this 2+ years ago, almost 3 now. And those have made a lot of advancements. In case anybody hasn't noticed driving around, the Google and there's another company that's doing it for private, but they drive around town and they drive every lane, take every exit, and it's got the satellite tracking ball on the roof. They are tracking for the autonomous. That's been going on for a couple of years now. That is just right around the corner. That's something that we need. I don't want to say we need to ensure that it's not hampered, but while at the same time making sure that our general public and our citizenry are protected from bad actors in that. So that's something that I kind of a focus that I would like to focus on there, I guess, is the autonomous vehicles. And then just accountability, a lot of the other things that have been mentioned, project selection, how that goes about, things like that. I could go on some more, but I want to save time for Representative Petersburg and Chair Hornstein. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Barr, and appreciate your involvement in the committee. And we are going to have we're going to really have one of our first hearings that I'll talk about in a couple minutes with the U of M. We're going to have some discussion about connected and autonomous vehicles. So thank you for raising that. Representative Petersburg, so glad that you are the lead for the GOP, and I've enjoyed working with you over the years, and welcome back to the committee. I think you've been on the committee every term since 2012 when you were elected. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. And that was the time in which you were chair of the Transportation Committee as well, and actually created Corridors of Commerce, which I was grateful to support with you. And so I appreciate that. Yes, I represent Otanawasika, which is south of here. And I started my career in the legislature in January of 2013, and have been on every Transportation Committee, either finance or policy, since then, and because it has been important. Part of that importance, of course, was Highway 14. And if you remember, Mr. Chair, between Clark Johnson and myself, we kind of made sure that Highway 14 was mentioned just about every committee hearing. And we have that taken care of, at least from Rochester to New Ulm. But I will tell you that Chair Torkelson will remind us that Highway 14 does not stop in New Ulm. So we'll see if that moves forward as well. But part of my strengths, I think, is that I tend to like to think outside the box. I like to look at alternatives, look at ideas that we maybe haven't thought of before, and really try to pull everybody's ideas in so that we have a cohesive working group. I'm also have been one of the executive members on the executive board for the Centers for Transportation Studies at the University of Minnesota, the Humphrey Institute, along with Senator Dibble from the Senate. We are the two legislators on there, which has been very interesting. And we'll be talking about a lot of those things that have been mentioned before. Now, in regards to our caucus, obviously, Chair Torkelson said a lot of the things that we are going to be thinking about. And I'm not going to repeat that because of brevity, but funding and providing the infrastructure needs of transportation, I think, is going to be key and is part of our main responsibilities. To the fact that transportation is so important that even in COVID, we can do all the internet buying and purchasing and ordering that we want to, but none of that comes to our house. None of us we pick up unless it goes through one of our transportation programs and projects. We also need to remind ourselves that we're not just about cars and buses, even trucking. But we are one of the only Midwestern state that actually has a seaport. We aren't along the coast. We're not along the Gulf Coast, and yet we have a seaport. And so we have a lot of infrastructure in transportation that we need to fund and figure out what's going on. I think we mentioned safety, specifically transit safety, which is a current project that we need to work about. We're also going to probably be talking, when we start talking about things, there's going to be an appearance that we are talking metro versus greater Minnesota. And I want to make sure that at least from this side, that's not true. We aren't going to be pitting one against the other. There are differences in need from one to the other, and we need to be able to address those collectively and with priority as to what's important, sure enough. But that doesn't mean that we should do it at the cost of either one. And so that is my promise as well. Certainly the discussions about earmarking and some of the other things that have a tendency to tear us down is one of the reasons why I think project selection, as Chair Torkelson talked about, and how we deal with even corridors of commerce, which I believe is still a good program and viable program, but we do need to figure out a way in how we prioritize the funding. And sometimes providing the service isn't just about additional funds, but also how do we streamline things? How do we become more efficient? How do we become better at that? And so I think at that point, I think I'll leave it so that you have enough time, Mr. Chair, to introduce our staff and to do your stuff as well. But Mr. Chair, I appreciate working with you, and I will appreciate working with you in the future. And together, I think we will be able to put together a very substantial bill, and that is my goal.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Representative Petersburg. I'll just conclude with my comments really at the end, because I wanted to make sure there was enough time to make sure that our staff had a chance to introduce themselves. They are amazing. And, you know, normally they would do a kind of an overview hearing of the committee and its jurisdictional pieces and the different formulas, et cetera. We're going to just have, you know, that they will be available to us either individually or perhaps in small groups to do that work here over the next few weeks. But I did want everybody to know who they are and what their jobs are as we move forward. So let's see here. Why don't we start with Mr. Lee and then Mr. Burris from our nonpartisan staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Andy Lee from Nonpartisan House Fiscal Staff. This will be my ninth session on the Transportation Finance Committee. I also staff the Capital Investment Committee, and I'm really looking forward to working with all of you. And just a note about what my office does. We help members chairs of committees in requesting and understanding fiscal notes. So that's when there's a proposed piece of legislation that has cost implications from the Department of Public Safety, MnDOT, or the Metropolitan Council. That's what a fiscal note is. And then also helping the chair and minority leads and other committee members understand the budget and put together proposals in terms of the omnibus spending bill. So I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. We're very lucky to have you. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, good afternoon. I'm Matt Burris. I'm with House Research, and I'm one of the other nonpartisan staff for the committee. I'm available for staff support in the committee environment, as well as for answering questions, helping with policy development, drafting bills and amendments. My office, similar to Mr. Lee's kind of sister offices, are both nonpartisan. We provide confidential services in a non-advocacy, nonpartisan, neutral manner, and are available as you have questions or want assistance in developing bills.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. And again, it's important if you have bill ideas to talk talk to Mr. Burris about them. And again, we have a bit of a backlog. Mr. Burris can draft your bills, but it may take a little while to get the jackets back because we have something like 1,500 bills at the revisors right now. So just a plea to, you know, get your stuff in relatively soon. You know, be patient, given the, our staff is always very, responsive, but they're a bit stretched thin now with our new, COVID reality. Ms. Smith, please introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Barbara Smith, and I will be taking over the research and following along with the ideas for the new House Republican Caucus staff, and always available for questions if you want them.
Thank you. Nice to have you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Marble, it's good to have you back, too. Number one Twins fan in the state office building, I believe. welcome back, Mr. Marble. And unmute, yes.
Hey, it's great to be back again in the committee. This will be my seventh year on transportation and looking forward to it. And we've had a lot of fun over the years with you. You do a great job as chair, and it was fun serving under Representative Torkelson as well. So
it's nice to have you back. Mr. Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hello, everybody. I'm John Howe. I'm the committee administrator. I'm the person who will be frequently providing a notice to the public for upcoming hearings. If you'd like to get a notice in your email inbox, check out our website. The committee has a website with a subscribe option, and we can send you a notice of the hearings that will come up, and we'll also post a hearing on there. But my role will be to assist members of the committee and to assist members of the public in being sort of a connector of sorts, if you'd like to reach us or to potentially testify in the future. This is my third year as a committee administrator. I appreciate the opportunity to serve the committee and all of you. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Mr. Howe. And then last but not least, we have our committee legislative assistant, Mr. Dan Dodge, does a great job of keeping us all organized and on task and focused.
Hey, everybody. My name is Dan Dodge. I'm the committee legislative assistant for transportation. This will be my second year with the committee and with the House. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions about the committee or if you need help getting a hold of the chair.
Thanks, Mr. Dodge. Well, great. So just thanks, everybody, for these wonderful introductions. It's just great to see the diversity of opinions and perspectives that people bring. I think it really makes for a strong and very helpful committee structure and membership that we have. So let me just make a couple of comments here at the end. I wanted to... Yes, go ahead.
You missed our DFL researcher.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where's Jennifer? I didn't see her. I'm sorry. Jennifer Nelson. Yes, here you are, Jennifer. Good, go ahead.
Well, I'm Jennifer Nelson, the DFL researcher for this committee. This is my third year with transportation, and it's good to be back.
Thank you. And Jennifer brings a lot of skills and a great sense of a dedication to this committee and wonderful humor as well. And so we're really happy to have her back. Sorry about that, Jennifer. I was so anxious to get in under the wire here. So let me just very quickly that it's been a pleasure to hear all of your comments. And I decided to start off our committee not with our traditional round of agencies coming in and doing informational hearings, but that we have the Center for Transportation Studies coming in the next two hearings that will do an overview really about transportation in the post-COVID moment that we're in. We cannot begin to address what's happening in our field here without acknowledging the changes, the profound changes that COVID has brought. And so both on Thursday and the following Tuesday, we will have a panel of experts from the University of Minnesota and also someone from the University of California, Davis, who will be addressing various topics related to transportation, freight, supply chains, transit, connected and automated vehicles, climate, these types of issues, to help frame our discussion for the coming biennium. And then we'll hear from the agencies in terms of their COVID response. Representative Torkelson had brought that up. And then we'll have, I want to address many of the issues that all of you have spoken about today, whether it's the issue of small towns and funding, township roads, equity, climate, safety. We will have a series of informational hearings on all of those topics. So with that, members, it is 2:30. I appreciate, again, everybody's time and your comments. And with that, I will virtual gavel. We will stand adjourned until next Thursday, this Thursday, January 14th at 1 to 2:30 p.m. Thank you very much, members. See you at 1 o'clock on Thursday.